It's 10:01 a.m. on a Monday, all at once. Your sales leader needs to know which deals are at risk. Your PM wants feature adoption by cohort, and your CFO needs one last graph for the board. Now your data team has to say no to somebody. Hex changes that. Ask any data question in plain English and get an analyst-grade response, all backed by your actual business context as defined by your data team. Start saying yes to more data questions at hex.ai.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Jake, good to see you again.
Good to see you again. You've
in
got a little
Manchester,
bit of
yeah, just to mix it up.
You sounded like my ChatGPT voice.
Wouldn't want people to get bored. Obviously.
we really wouldn't want people to get bored. That would be really, really counterproductive to this whole endeavour.
Yeah, yeah. This is our, you know, your big trip up to Manchester. Podcast records. Excited. It's been a long time coming. Chuffed to have you up here. We're going to have some great nights. You went to uni, go through some old haunts. I went out last night. Jake didn't make it.
No. Well, okay. I see what you've done there. I was wondering. Wow, this is the most fucking perky I've seen you for a while. But it was only to count me down. That's a classic from you there.
fair play.
So, first night, we had a big night out with your dad.
Yeah,
loved it.
It was bigish. We knew we had stuff on the next day. We knew we had to do an episode the next day. So it was probably reined it in at about 11. Did we?
I forget that I'm spending a large amount of time with a 25-year-old sometimes.
Do you think there is a difference?
I do. Yeah. I'm sorry. We were out till 11:30 the night before. We had a lot to do. And I think that's a big night. All right? No, fair enough. I don't know. I felt a bit rough the next day anyway. But lovely, lovely evening out with your dad. So good meeting him.
Yeah.
And I think I might have mentioned this in a previous episode, but he was so excited to meet me, I think, that he rang his brother Kev and said, Kev, you've got to come and meet Jake. And then
he was so taken by you. It was like you just had to spread the word. You come up to Manchester and see who's here. Like, come and see this. Like, the Oracle is here.
So, well, for full disclosure, we did do 3 episodes on the bounce. And straight after what I thought was a big night, but what for you was just an amuse-bouche.
A medium.
And then got back to the hotel and just crashed out, and I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you had a night out with producer Connor.
Yes.
Your dad.
Stepdaddy.
And Kev, who came up.
Yeah, and Jack.
So how was that?
And Jack. Mate, it was a very funny night.
Give me the highlights.
It was a very funny night. So, first up, so Kev, my dad's brother, is, I'd say he's old school. Bloke from the Midlands.
But not in a problematic way.
That
is more telling than anything we've said on this fucking podcast in the history of doing it.
Look, bottom line is we had a great night out.
Yeah.
Connor arrived, so they were introducing. Connor went up to a bar, got a Corona with a lime in.
Yeah.
Kev was not impressed with a lime in a beer.
Really? He's that old school.
And then Connor broke the news to the group. So it was Connor on his own. We thought you guys were coming together. He broke the news. Guess where Jake is? I thought maybe you were outside, like, I don't know. I didn't know you picked up smoking again or something.
No, I didn't know what was going on.
Jake's just picking up a meal deal. Jake's necking a little bottle of vodka out there, just catching up.
None of these things I would do.
Jake is having a nap.
Yeah.
And Kev said, a nap? He went, I have never in my life intentionally had a nap.
What's with the intentionally?
Well, that was it. He initially said, I'd never in my life had a nap. We all laughed and he went, I'll reword it. I've never intentionally had an app. I reckon there's probably been a time I've had a few beers and fallen asleep on the sofa in front of a telly in the day.
I will not be shame. I feel no shame in intentionally having an app, but I do think that's one of the funniest turns of phrases I've heard for a very long time.
Yeah.
Is he coming to join us today?
No, I think that's it. You've missed it.
Yeah.
You've missed it. He came up to see your open mind and it was napping.
Your dad's the one that I really wanted to sort of get to know, and I think we had a
had
we really bonded. We really bonded.
And also I think the one who Kev really wanted to get to know was producer Connor.
I think, to be honest with you, Kev and Connor and me and your dad pairing off makes sense.
Yeah.
I think those, in terms of minds meeting, that's where it's at.
I think that was fair.
Me and your dad could talk about spirituality, the meaning of life, and Connor and Kev could talk about gout.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The other thing they did talk about...
And what's not on.
Another thing,
that's not on.
Yeah.
They could talk about what's not on, and me and your dad could talk about the meaning of life.
Yeah. The other thing Connor said that Kev weren't too keen on was about having chives on his breakfast. he wasn't too keen on that.
But then
he did admit, after a few more drinks, he went, to be fair, they are nice. A lot of chive talk.
How is it getting... So did they both hurt yours? How was it getting back?
Yeah, it did, actually. Both came back to mine.
Yeah. Get back all right?
I think, actually, you know what? They were meant to be getting a train at about 2 p.m. to go back down. It's currently 4 p.m. They're still in the same Wetherspoons I left them in at 11:30 this morning.
Bloody hell. So what did you walk back last night?
No, this is the thing. They are just so oblivious to, like, Uber.
Yeah.
They can't get their head around Uber. Like, taxis to them are just this old thing of, like... It's just traditional. You hail one down and you jump in and that's it.
Mm.
Honestly, every time I get in an Uber with my dad, as we get out, have you paid him, Liam? Yeah, it happens already. They can't get their head around that. And then we left the last pub last night, probably, I don't know, 12, 1 o'clock or something. Saturday night out of Manchester, I couldn't get an Uber because it was so busy. But then they just took it upon themselves. It was like Ubers everywhere because it was so busy, I just couldn't get one. They took it upon themselves to just walk up to, like, every Uber that was there, try opening the door.
No.
Going, like, yeah, over to Salford. And I was like, guys, you've got to stop this. Like, this is not how it works. Like, you have to book them. Like, and they've all got, like, Uber written on the side. They've all got a big... it's not hard to pick out what one's new, but walking up to all of them, annoyed, like, oh, why can't we get in that? Why can't we just... And I was saying to my dad, I was like, please, just listen to me. You cannot just walk into an Uber. That's not how it works. And he went to me, you never know.
Which really wound but me that, up. But that suggests that every Uber driver is just being a little bit difficult.
We could, but we're just being a little bit difficult. Why are they playing by the rules?
So what did you say to him?
Oh, I just sort of lost it. I just said, I didn't lose it, but I was just like, I was like, why have you just stopped... trying to, like, understand what I'm saying here.
You're not even trying to understand
what I'm telling you. Yeah. I was with him before, actually, in Manchester a couple of months ago, getting out an Uber somewhere. And as we were getting out, there was, like, some people walking by looking for a taxi. And he, like, held the door open and was like, you can get in here, guys, we're done with this. And it was to some similar sort of, like, middle-aged people who were, like, oblivious of, like, how Uber...
Oh, God.
Like, piling other strangers into the back of this Uber driver. And I was get out. Like, the Uber driver's like, what's going on? But that's holding the door open for these strangers to
get... We've got another booking. We're done here now,
guys. You can come in. Jesus.
Good weekend. Looking forward to
decompressing with a good pod.
Yeah, just decompress with a good pod. Yeah. And also, don't worry, we've still got the whole day and evening ahead of us, matey. We'll still be having a fair few crazy Uber drivers that will assault. But tell me, we're in Manchester.
Yeah.
And the great thing about this bunch of pods is that we're meeting loads of exciting Mancunians. Who are we meeting today?
Well, it wouldn't be a Manchester batch of records without a Coronation Street star. It's Farrell Hegarty.
And I think that's one of the most beautiful trumpet songs I know.
Can I just say, I thought that was really nice. And while we were doing it, I looked up and I saw producer Connor going like that.
You know, for the audio listener, you know, the symbol, the sign you do with your hand with one finger that spins round. Hurry up.
Yeah, just get crack on with it.
So beautiful. It was a moment of shit. Spontaneous.
I know.
Yeah, hurry up.
I join in for once. Oh, right. Well, I won't be doing it again.
I genuinely think that Coronation Street jingle is just beautiful.
Yeah.
It sounds so good.
It is the best one, isn't it?
Yeah, so she's in Corrie. She's fucking hilarious. Big on the socials.
Big on the socials.
It's going to be a good one, isn't it?
I think it is. Should we go meet her?
Yeah, I hope nothing technical goes wrong.
Joining our pub quiz team this week is a soap star who's currently meant to be locked up, but we've got her on day release. It's Farrell Hegarty.
Yeah!
I love that opening.
Right, so for those who don't know, what does that mean?
So my character in Corrie is banged up.
We've got someone off Corrie. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? We basically, we started this and it was like, right, do we have any mates we can ask on? No. And now we've got people off Corrie on. It's brilliant.
And hi, guys.
So what's happening with your character?
So my whole storyline is in prison. So one of the street regulars goes to prison and I'm there. It's like Corrie meets Bad Girls.
Wow. And you're sort of bringing like the Bad Girls element.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's lots goes down. There's a fight. Get into a scrap.
Do you know how to stage fight then?
No, they bring someone in and then, it's like a big sequence. I got to grab a red and whack it on the wall.
Really?
She puts her hands up.
How does that work practically?
Well, I actually got hit in the face.
Really?
By accident. Everyone was like, panic.
Oh my God.
We signed this form. I was like, it's fine, guys. It happens.
Signed this form?
Don't sue us. Don't sue us. So it was an accident. Things happen.
From what I understand, the trick with that is, so if I was to grab you by the head, you push into my hand.
Just go careful.
Yeah.
Yeah. You push into my hand. And then you do all the acting. So wherever we're going to go, it's all you. So if you go in agony, as if I'm like slamming your head over there, go on, go like, if I'm pushing your head over there, It's all you.
And you also hang on to it.
Yes.
So you control it. And then also.
Yeah. So you're holding it as if it's hurting.
Get off me.
Yeah.
Get off me.
Yeah. Get off. Yeah. It looks good, doesn't it?
And they punch like just in front of your face, and then you. And this, the shot that I looked back on when they were watching the things, like my hair goes over, and it's like the camera's down there. It looks really good. I was like, yeah, scrap.
If you listen to this on audio. We've got three cameras now, so we're really talking about a lot of stuff that goes quite visual on purpose, just so we can have those incredible moments. A lot of visuals. You want to come over to YouTube for this stuff. So Corrie's one thing, but my God, are you killing it on the socials as well?
Oh, thanks.
When did that all start?
I started making stuff at like the end of 2023.
Mm-hmm.
I went to TikTok, then went onto Instagram when I got braver.
What did you prefer, TikTok or Instagram?
I prefer Instagram. Yeah, I think people are more loyal on Instagram.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, you're back. I've got one guy called Dave who just comments on everything. He's like, yeah,
fuck you.
Love you, Dave. And everything.
So in your very busy life, do you ever have time or care for a pub quiz?
I used to do them a lot in my early 20s. But I'm more there.
And now that you're in your late 20s, you don't bother so much?
My late 20s, exactly. Thank you. No, not as much. I haven't been to a pub quiz for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
What was your sort of specialist subject?
Like pop culture.
Anything
like late 90s. Any shit film you could think of that you didn't want to watch growing up.
I really like
the life and love of Britney Spears.
I love it when people sort of try to use pop culture as if like they are bringing sort of like another sort of academic subject to the table.
Yeah.
So you've got history, geography, science. I think pop culture mainly for me.
That is me.
Okay, everyone's got a bit of pop culture, haven't they?
I went to pub quizzes, I was just there for like, I was just eager to be at the pub.
Yeah.
And the quiz was like the afterthought. Mm. So you're in for a nice time.
Well, you're on the right podcast, really, because that's sort of how the quizzes work on this.
Yeah. Do you have an interesting fact for us?
Oh, please,
yeah,
do.
So I listened to someone say this the other day, and it was that around 10 people a year are killed by vending machines.
Really? What, people falling on them?
Because they've tried to rock them. And when you research into it, I did fact check, and it's when they're like tried to rock and it's fallen on them. Average of 10 a year.
Did you research that for this or just a general research?
Do you know where I got it from?
Go on.
Which is going to really embarrass myself. Someone said it on Love Island.
Really?
Must be true.
It gave me a clip. I was like, sold. And then I did fact check it. I ChatGPT'd it just to really hammer it down.
How desperate have you got to be for a mini bag of M&Ms to start rocking a vending machine?
Yeah. There was one in my school where there was a girl in my year who was of, she was built, shall I say, and she used to run across from the other side. Like if you got something stuck, she used to run across and just barge it and it works. We'd be like shout her across like Ben, and she'd be like, and she'd love it.
She loved it as well.
Yeah, because it was like, well, I've got this sorted. I was like, yes,
body slam the vending machine.
Like, body slam it.
No worries, girls. So tight, break tomorrow. Yeah.
Someone go get her.
See you at 10:30.
That's absolutely brilliant. Yeah. There was
she could have died. One in ten.
Yeah.
10 people a year, mate.
Yeah, not one in ten.
One in ten people die from vending machines.
That was sort of like a Donald Trump level of like twisting facts.
Yeah,
it's one in ten people.
Guys,
they're falling. They're falling on them.
They try and get the Maltesers.
Liam does a. We just got on the pod. Liam's Trump is very good, but it's quite camp.
Oh, I like
more
that.
More camp than that.
What's
more camp than yours?
What's yours?
Give me a line.
We're falling. No, maybe mine's quite camp.
Yeah, yours is
we're falling on the vending machines. Can't do it any other way. What's yours?
We're falling on the vending machines.
Deep South. Hell, we're falling on the vending machines.
It's the hand.
You gotta have that.
Like, what
gotta
is he shaking?
Yeah.
He's constantly waving an imaginary.
Can you do a good
phone?
Trump?
No, I think that was it that I tried to do before.
What impressions have you got up your sleeve?
I can't do
any
impressions.
Come on, you're an actor, content creator. I bet you got loads of them.
I'm actually bad. I can't do any. That was my best one that I just did.
Everyone's got one.
Falling
everyone's
on the vending machines.
did it in her own voice, yeah. But with the maraca. We're falling on vending machines.
Falling on them.
Well, if Farrell's friend who had the vending machine trick is listening, we'd love to have you on the podcast.
Yeah.
So get in touch.
I'll put a call in.
Yeah. And also, we'd like to know what you think our team should be called today as we embark on this quiz.
I've struggled with this.
Oh, dear.
I was going to go for a few sarnies short of a picnic.
That's nice.
Because then sarnies in a reference to like up north.
Yeah.
And also...
The whole phrase feels a very up north phrase. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I feel like if you set people's expectations low in life, when you do something good, like if you get a few questions right, then they're pleasantly surprised.
Mm.
So I tend to go for that. Like, tell people you shit.
Yeah.
And then if you're not shit in the end,
they're,
I think it's a beautiful turn of phrase, yeah.
A few sarnies short of a picnic. Yeah.
Should we find out who our quizmaster is?
Okay.
So each week we get sent a genuine pub quiz from a genuine quizmaster. And this week it's the return of our gladiator, Sam. So we've got some like regular quizmasters who send them in, and
they
then they
fucking
come
love
on,
it.
Our sort of gladiators.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's Sam from the Fox in Loxley, Warwickshire. Can I just say about this guy Sam?
Mm.
I don't know if I told you this. It turned out, so bear with me here.
Okay.
My girlfriend is sort of from this neck of the woods,
right?
And someone contacted her to be like, "Oh, the school's doing like a bit of an alumni board, or like you know what the leavers of the last few years have done.
Mm.
The head of sick form's doing it. Get in touch with him. It'd be like good to just sort of say what you're doing on it." She got in touch with the head of sick. Turns out her old head of sick is Sam from the Fox in Loxley.
Oh my god!
And she sent a picture of like myself, Zoe, and Jack as like squid stuff, and he replied going, "It's a guy in the middle. He's the one who does Pub Quiz Pod." She was like, yeah, and he goes, "Oh, I'm Sam from the Fox in
Loxley." No way!
Hey, that's so weird.
So Sam is your girlfriend's old head of sixth form?
Yep.
I love that.
That is really beautiful. Sam, thank you.
Full circle.
I'm even warm to even more now,
that's
Sam.
Lovely.
It's bloody brilliant.
And his quiz is every Tuesday at 8 p.m.
We will try and, to anyone thinking of sending a quiz in, actually, we are putting plans in place to maybe come and visit our quizmasters on the road. Mm. So keep sending them in and we will maybe come and quiz with you. And maybe Farrell will come with us.
Maybe I will.
Yeah. You might have a lot on. It's up to you. She might be in prison. Who knows?
So, round one from Sam is numerical novels. I hate the sound of that.
Oh.
Love you, Sam. But I fucking hate the sound of that.
Just
really
shit,
big
Sam.
What great a shit. What a load of shite.
Numerical. I don't
so
understand
every
the title.
Answer is a... Every answer is a novel with a number in its title.
I don't understand the title.
I don't think I can...
You said it with the same intonation as my favourite line from Chicken Run, where they say, "I don't want to be a pie.
I don't
like gravy."
Like
what's your
don't
second
like
favourite
green
line from Chicken Run?
I've got one, you prick.
Yeah.
I've got one for you, you cunt. It's,
I love when he says that on Chicken Run.
It's, my old life flashed before my eyes. It were really boring.
Oh, I need to watch it again.
Third?
Yeah. just get through the whole film.
Chicken pies! Probably says something like that. I'm a chicken!
Quit while you're behind.
Yeah, okay.
every answer is a novel with a number in its title. I can't even think of five novels with a number in its title. I've not tried.
I can't think of five novels, so we're all good.
Okay.
Can't think of five numbers. question one. The title of which Joseph Heller novel has become a term which describes a paradoxical dilemma?
Oh yeah, Joseph Heller. What did they write?
I think so. This is a novel that has become is also a term for a paradoxical dilemma. Is a catch-22 situation?
Oh, lovely.
I don't know the novel, but it's just the only phrase that I think is also a paradoxical dilemma with a number
mate,
in it.
Let's go with that. I like that. And you know what? Like the logic was all there. You didn't really need to know the paradoxical dilemma. You can get it. I just didn't even attempt it because I remember, after you said Joseph, I'm out.
Yeah. What I like about Sam's quiz, from what I remember, is that he does offer you the chance to get the answer, even though you might not know all of the details in the question, just from working it. He's very good.
We're in safe hands. Question two: Dakota Johnson and Jamie Dornan starred in the film adaptation of which 2011 novel? 50 Shades of Grey.
Jamie Dornan. I was in a film with him.
The
film was called, oh God, I've forgotten it. It was with him and Peter Dinklage. You know the guy who plays Game of Thrones?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow, you were in with him as well.
I didn't meet him though. So I was in with Jamie Dornan and he has to chat me up at a bar and then my boyfriend's there and they start a fight. And I was in like a flashback episode.
What was the film?
I forgot his name.
You were in a film with Jamie Dornan and you've forgotten the name of the film.
I know.
If I was in a film with anyone, I'd remember the name of the film.
It's just completely.
If I was in a film, I'd remember the name of the film. You've been in so much stuff.
No, I haven't. It was a long time ago. It's the film where Peter Dinklage, is that his right?
Dinklage. Yeah.
Plays the guy who was like a villain on.
This is harder than the quiz.
Question 87. It's going to come to me before the
question
end.
Question 87. Farrell just remembering her own life. He played. Oh God. In fact, would it be on IMDb?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So Peter Dinklage
and Jamie Dornan.
Please
put me out by misery. My dinner with her. Oh God!
It wasn't even that long ago. 2018.
My dinner with Herv. Look at that.
Yeah.
Nominated for a Primetime Emmy.
I did actually.
Yeah.
Unit.
Yeah. Where is she? Where is she? Just keep scrolling.
I was like 1 minute bar one.
Keep scrolling. You'd definitely be in there. 6.9.
All cast and crew.
Come on.
Here we go.
Don't embarrass me now, guys.
No.
Seymour.
We'll get Seymour. Page two.
Seymour.
Page six.
Seymour.
There you go.
Woman in pub.
Woman in pub.
My God.
Oh God, I'm glad you put me out of my misery.
I tell you what, we don't normally get up at people's CVs when they come on.
We don't normally watch their show reel on the
top. Yeah, we watch people's show reel. Okay, God, so
Dakota Johnson and Jamie Dornan, 2011. I think it was 50 Shades. Got great.
Did you watch the film?
Did not.
It was 50 Shades.
That was a novel as well. Anyone's cup of tea, that sort of thing?
I really remember when the novel was around and everyone was reading the novel.
Yeah.
I remember all my sisters reading the novel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, your sister's reading it.
Yeah.
It's a bit...
Well, that, I mean...
I've never read it and I've never watched it.
It's erotic, isn't it? So, is it that different to being like, oh, I'm going to read this on the tube, to being like, I'm going to watch a bit of porn. I'm watching a bit of porn up on the National Express. Like, it's not... Is it that far off?
Put your porn down and eat your dinner.
Stop it. You're embarrassing the family. Yeah.
He's got his head stuck in that porn. Honestly. Question three. In which novel is Great Britain referred to as Airstrip 1?
Oh, God. I have no idea. Oh, Great Britain referred to as Airstrip 1. So it must be
a war film.
It strikes me as something a bit dystopian where like the world is all over and they just treat Great Britain as a place to land rather than being anything more than that, which doesn't really help me with anything.
Sounds great though.
Sounds good. Sounded good. I enjoy it. Yeah, sounded
great
good.
Synopsis.
All right, let's park it for now and see what else is there.
Tears of the Giraffe was the sequel to which detective novel?
Fucking hell.
Remember the number, Edwin. It's got to have a number in the title.
Name a detective novel.
Yeah.
Does James Bond count as a detective? 007 or something?
He's not a detective.
Fair enough.
I don't know. I don't think he is.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Guys,
you big readers?
I don't read.
I don't know how people find the time to read. My idea of picking up a book would be like, my brain would be like, why are you doing this? You haven't got time. Do more things. And I'm like, oh, and I just fall asleep.
And also, you're holding the book and you're trying to read this page, but all I can think of is how few pages are in that hand and how many more there are in that hand. And I cannot for the life of me
stop so thinking relaxing. About
the weight, the ratio between what how much is to go and how much.
I think reading a book is the same as going to the gym. You don't want to do it. No, you don't enjoy it while you're doing it. But then you feel good. Feel good about yourself after.
Yeah, yeah, it, totally.
I'd like to have my friends talk about like, oh, have you read this or their book recommendations? And I'm always like. I feel like I'm peering in through the window, like I'm missing out. But then I'm like, I'll be honest.
Have you not read that? How have you read that? How have you read it? Because I'll be honest with you.
It's so thick.
The less that I've read, it's not that I don't read. I'm increasingly, it's that I can't read.
Also, I think all the readers.
It's hard. It's so hard.
I feel like I can't concentrate. So because I can't concentrate, I'll read it and I've read the whole page and I'm like, I didn't take any of that in.
Yeah.
So I've like, it's just not gone in.
Also, I think all the readers judge the non-readers.
Oh yeah.
If someone's like read, but if there's a few people chatting who've read books and you're one in there who hasn't, they think you're an idiot.
Yeah, that's why I asked you first before I answered.
And you can't even get excited about seeming intellectual about films because then some bastard will be like, yeah, but it's not as good as the book, right? Yeah.
It's not as good as the book. Have you read the book though?
Trying to sort of give an opinion on what I thought about the film. Yeah, but you can't really have a proper opinion on the story because it's nothing compared to the book.
No.
50 Shades of Grey, you pervert.
So we don't know Tears of a Giraffe.
No, we don't know Tears of a Giraffe.
And then number five, which 2019 novel by Taylor Jenkins Reid was loosely based on Fleetwood Mac's recording of the album Rumours.
Seems
up your street, Jake.
I love that album. It's my favourite album. But
it's a good album.
It's your favourite album?
No, that's wrong. That was wrong of me
so
to say.
So the book was based on...
That was wrong of me, that was wrong of me to say. Yeah. It probably is. It maybe is in the top three.
Yeah?
Yeah. Dark Side of the Moon's in there.
Yeah.
Bit, you know, don't know if that's a bit cliche.
What, favourite album's full stop? Yeah. Or favourite Fleetwood Mac album?
And then maybe the first album by The Automatic.
Don't know who that is.
No, they did. Is that what's that coming over the hill? Is it a monster?
Oh yeah.
I loved that song when I was like 10.
Yeah.
That was the first song I really liked.
Oh my best friend Greg got it for the album for my birthday when I was in year 8. Yeah.
What other songs did they sing other than the monster?
It wasn't really my favourite album, but I do have fond memories of that time. They had "Let's Go See Raoul, Let's Make a Plan." Because everyone in that period of time used to sing like that.
Yeah. And then to make noises like.
There's also a phenomenon in that era of like a very over-energetic keyboardist who'd just be like, sort of like doing a lot of that stuff.
They would always have some sort of like. And they'd always sing about things that were like cigarettes and sandwiches.
I'm going to Leeds.
On the train, got my bus passed. Like.
She had a ladder in her tights and I loved it.
I miss that genre of music.
I really loved Block Party. I still love Block Party. But you can. He takes that to another extreme where it's just like, I had a pot of lager. Yes, I did. Yeah. Oh God.
And they always like used to sing with the mic just like this as well.
Like, they were guitar's really high as well. The foals go.
I loved it.
I saw the new Block Party playing in Crystal Palace in last summer. And it was like, there was loads of sort of middle-aged dads there. I mean, my age people, really.
My friends and peers.
Oh, yeah. You judge them. They're all my age. It was a real, that was the vibe. Anyway, middle of the set, Kelly takes his jumper off and he's got this muscle-tight white T-shirt that just says NHS. And the cheer is huge.
Nice.
And you just see one guy, arms folded, go, well, it's an easy win, isn't it? You're always going to get something out of that, aren't you?
Yeah.
The novel is, we don't know the name. We don't know basically three out of five of these, but we've had a bloody good time giving it a go.
Good time.
Are we just going to have to, I think with stuff like literature, if you don't know the name of the book, you don't know the name of the book.
Can you think of any other novels that have a number in the title?
Yes, that's a very good point. That's a very good point.
Famous Five?
Famous Five! Detective!
Is that a detective?
Tears of a Giraffe is a sequel to just a detective novel. They're detectives, aren't they?
Down, I think.
It wouldn't be Airstrip 1, would it?
Could be either. Should we put them as both and just hope that one of them's... might as well.
That's right.
That's great, Liam. Famous Five. Someone commented actually the other day all we did was say well done on an answer and someone said, tell you what, Jake and Liam, really great example of healthy male friendship.
Mm.
All we did was just say well done. That's how low the bar
is
for male friendship.
That's how you were just nice to each other. You get through a compliment. What a great lad. That's kind of bleak, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is the bar is low.
There's that novel about when they burnt all the books. It's a it's like a fantasy thing of like, what if they banned books, called Fahrenheit 431 or something.
Yeah,
but I don't know what that
1984 would be one.
Oh,
oh
really?
Yeah, 1984.
Could that be Airstrip 1?
Airstrip 1, very good. Yes. He's killing it. Very good. And then...
The 2019 novel by Taylor Jenkins, loosely based.
I actually read that.
You've read it?
84.
Have you?
For drama school.
It's one of the top books that people lie about having read.
Really?
I think it might be the top.
Maybe that's what I'm doing right now.
Might be the most said fact on this podcast as well.
What is it?
Every
is
time it gets mentioned, because obviously if it's ever like a literature or book round, 1984 is in there, and every time it comes up, it goes, and did you know? It's the most lied about.
It's the most lied about book, and I've not read it.
I think do that. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so 1984 for Airstrip 1, Tears of Giraffe are going famous 5, and then number 5, the Taylor Jenkins Reid novel that was loosely based on Fleetwood Mac's recording of the album Rumours. We don't know what it is, but we're going to say... let's leave it.
Let's
leave it. We had a good go at managing to get 4 answers down.
I remember once at uni, I got back quite late from that out, quite drunk, and I've decided I was going to sit at my desk and read 1984.
Yeah.
Read about 3 pages. I think I was just hoping someone was going to walk in. I just fancy coming back and reading.
Yeah. So if you've seen this, you're a big reader. Yeah. Big fan.
Do you have another VK, did you? Yeah, not my scene.
Sorry, have you just started it? You're on page 3.
Yeah, you started now. I was really doing that thing, actually, of reading the same page a few times, just being like, this is not landing. This is not going in. Right, should we do the answers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a shame we haven't got an answer for the last one, isn't it?
Park it. The best we can hope for is 4 out of 5 on this.
Let's just have a guess at what the number might be. I think it will be 74.
Okay, I think it will be 12.
No point for that, just extra little bit of fun.
What do you think the number is going to be in that fifth one?
68.
One off a good time. Right. I hate that I said that.
That's okay.
I really hate that I said that. I really hate being adjacent to any 69 jokes, and I just did it. I'm sorry.
Should you do the answers?
I think 69 jokes are still...
They're still all right?
Yeah, I think it's fine.
I think people have got about... bit into it in retaliation to 6-7. Back in
our day,
we had the proper stuff.
Yeah, it actually meant something.
It meant about sex. You wouldn't know about that. You're 12. You dick.
Load of frigid 12-year-olds that can't make a good sex joke.
What's gone wrong? Right, the answers. So the title of the Joseph Heller novel that has become a term for a paradoxical dilemma. Well done, Jake. That is Catch 22.
Well done.
Great stuff.
It's points on the board.
Dakota Johnson and Jamie Dornan starred in the film adaptation of which 2011 novel? It was 50 Shades of Grey.
50 Shades of Grey.
Now, this is where we were sort of guessing, but the novel where Great Britain is referred to as Airstrip 1 is 1984.
Okay, so we've got over half of these right now. Well done, everybody.
Tears of the Giraffe was the sequel to which detective novel? It was Number One Ladies Detective.
Oh, tip of my tongue.
You nearly had it, didn't you?
Is it the
Number Four Man's Detective? Yeah. I can't work out which one it is.
And then we didn't know what this was going to be, but we all had to guess at a number. And it is 2019 novel.
Fleetwood Max.
Daisy Jones and the Six. Never heard of it.
Well known.
Do you know what? Novel. That was a TV series as well. Damn.
I've never heard of that.
I'm not disappointed with a 3 out of 5.
No, not on that.
I think that was a
well
tricky
done,
round.
Guys.
We went into it thinking we'd get 2.
Yeah, and we got 3.
Yeah, so
we got one more.
Yeah.
It's 10:01 a.m. on a Monday, all at once. Your sales leader needs to know which deals are at risk. Your PM wants feature adoption by cohort, and your CFO needs one last graph for the board. Now your data team has to say no to somebody. Hex changes that. Ask any data question in plain English and get an analyst-grade response, all backed by your actual business context as defined by your data team. Start saying yes to more data questions at hex.ai.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Okay, so okay, round two.
Breakups and splits. Thank you for this, Sam. So, question number one.
It might be a bit of pop culture here, I reckon.
I think there's a lot of pop culture. It's going to be all on you, isn't it?
Come on!
Number one, Taylor Swift wrote The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived about which of her ex-partners?
It was about the lead singer of band. I think it was about...
Who'd she date that was in a band?
Matthew Healy?
Yes. I think it was about him.
That's mad that you went out with Taylor Swift.
I think it was about him because his mum is Denise Walsh.
Yes.
And she went on a thing slagging him off. Slagging her off about that basically like
So Denise Welch has probably had dinner with Taylor Swift.
Yeah,
that's
and
mad.
she was on like an American TV talk show basically slagging her off. I think that's right.
I think you're right. I think you're spot on.
I think it is right.
Question number two: The Velvet Divorce in 1992 led to the formation of which two independent European countries? The Velvet Divorce of 1992 led to the formation of which two independent European countries?
Is it Czech Republic? Because that's relatively... Is it Czech Republic and, I want to say, like, Serbia?
Sounds good to me.
I think that's probably wrong.
Maybe it's Yugoslavia being split into Croatia and Slovenia.
Okay.
But you think it's Czech Republic?
I do, but I'm willing to go with... I don't know another country to that. Like, I don't know another good suggestion for another country.
But I just think that...
You've got two in your mind.
I do, but I think Yugoslavia was formed of more than just those two countries. Yeah. I think they had a few more involved. So...
There's not like a country that's been... Because there's like North Macedonia, isn't there?
Oh, wow, that's good.
I don't think there's South Macedonia. No, I mean, it's just called North Macedonia.
Is it North Macedonia and Bosnia and Herzegovina?
Ooh, that's a good shout.
I think it's that. North Macedonia, North Mass, because we've not got time to write it all out. And then Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Very nice.
In September, Chris Wilder started his third stint as manager of which championship football team after being sacked in June? I mean, this is up to you really, Liam. Football.
It is Sheffield United.
Oh. Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So question number four, which film follows a custody battle between Dustin Hoffman and Meryl Streep? Oh, gosh.
Oh, it's called It Twice. It's the films. Something. It's the same name twice.
It is, isn't it? It's Johnson and Johnson. It's not that.
Yeah, it's like,
Kramer and Kramer. It's Kramer and Kramer. It's Kramer and Kramer.
I think it is Kramer.
Or is it Kramer versus Kramer? Kramer, because it's like them against each other. Maybe if it's a court case.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well done, guys.
So, did you always want to be an actor growing up?
You
went to drama school, so you must have made that choice early.
Yeah, but I don't feel like you didn't go to drama school thinking I wanted to be an actor. I went to drama school because...
We didn't go thinking you're going to be a GP.
What? I wanted to be a doctor. Where am I?
Can't get a job at any surgery. Don't know what's going on.
Just going into your interviews and being like, da-da. Jazz hands. I was just like, I want to do drama, so what do I do? And I remember at my college, because I just went to, like... I didn't go to like a theatrical college. And I remember when you go into your meetings, you had like a 20-minute slot with what do you want to do when you leave? And I was like, well, I really like drama. And I remember she went, oh, okay. And she like looked on the shelf and she went, oh. And she literally dusted this old like drama school book. And she went, do you want to go here? And like, she like never heard of it. I was like, yeah. So I just auditioned for drama school and just got in. I was like, that's so weird. But like no one I knew like did stuff like that. You know, like, if you went to people like Brit school and stuff like that, you were like, oh, you like to go to the arts.
Where was your drama school then?
I went to East 15.
In London?
East London, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's a very, I don't know lots about the different drama schools. What I do know, though, is that's quite like a cool alternative one, isn't it?
People get, yeah.
Is it? I don't know where I've got that from. Yeah.
People who don't know it are like, oh, didn't you like run around naked and like, we're like, doing weird shit. And I'm like, no. But we did a thing called Living History where you basically...
Where we ran around naked and
just did shit. We just like touched each other. It was really cool.
Is that the sort of reputation that had? It was just like a bit wacky. And
Because we do a thing called Living History. It was basically like for a whole week or 2 weeks, you recreate a war. And so you have to live in character for 2 weeks from like 9 till 6.
Also, there's something really funny about it being like, you got to commit 2 weeks of your life to this war, 9 till 6.
9 till 6.
Outside of those hours, obviously, is your own free time. The parking is free. Just park.
We've got the roller disco on Friday. We push that back an hour to give you time.
There's a little open actually till 9. So after 6, if you do need to get bits, you're happy you can do that there.
It was such a weird time. People got killed. Like, people lost.
What would they do for the remaining couple of weeks? If
you got killed, so,
killed early on.
So people,
9 to 6.
It's like being traitors, on the last day. Like, oh, it's happened early.
Yeah, yeah, I'm out now. Just sit in the tuck shop. They brought people in from like other years, and so you knew there was something going to happen. Or on the last 2 days, they killed people off. They get this one guy who played my husband. I remember they'd obviously whispered to him, like, in a minute, you're going to be shot in the face. That's what they did. They just come around and whisper to you. And he did this thing where he gathered everyone around to do a big speech. And then basically all of a sudden just like did this like, and like got shot in the
fucking
head.
Fucking hell.
It was really good. And then rain started. So we're all just like, how could you? You've killed him. Oh, God.
Question number 5. Henry VIII divorced which two of his wives?
Divorced, beheaded, died. Divorced, beheaded, survived.
2 and 6.
Catherine of Aragon. Do we have to do the names?
Yeah.
Catherine of Aragon, Anne Boleyn, Jane Seymour, Anne of Cleves, Catherine Howard, Catherine Parr.
So we know he divorced Catherine of Aragon. We divorced Anne of Cleves.
So yeah, Anne of Cleves.
Anne of Cleves, he divorced. Why did he divorce her? Because she was ugly, apparently.
Because she was ugly. Mm. Oh, right.
So he got.
I mean, he was no spring chicken, was he? Yeah.
He had gangrene infecting rotting leg.
Yeah. And but she, bit of a minger.
Apparently, you could smell his leg rotting from like four doors down in the castle. Like, that's how bad it was. Like,
I love
for
that
years,
he managed
just
to pull
like,
6 women.
I know. Oh, well, you can do when you've got sort of like the threat of execution
yeah,
there.
Yeah, sure.
Can't you?
I'd be like,
put it wherever you want.
Come on, Henry.
But he sent his portrait artist, Hans Holbein, to Germany to go and paint this woman to see what she looked like, get a pic. And then it came back and he was like, fit, get her over, let's marry her. And she arrived and the rumour is that like he saw her and he's like, that is horrible.
Why did you just say I don't want to marry you then?
And then more research come out and it turns out that it's because she didn't like fancy him that much. So she arrived and she was like, ooh. And he got offended by that. So he said, well, actually, no, you're the minging one.
You're the minging one.
That's what, so he married her and then thought, I'm getting old because his pride was hurt.
At least she got divorced and not her head chopped off.
Yeah, well, she had the best time of the lot. She got a big settlement, lovely country home.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
This is just medieval gossip.
Yeah, it is.
She's a minger.
She
was fit.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're feeling pretty good about this. Are we feeling so good that we might get a... the 5 out of 5 might evade us because of question 2, the Velvet Divorce. So, Farrell, you were straight in with Matty Healy in question number 1. That was correct.
Yes.
Question number 2. It was the Czech Republic and Slovakia.
We went back and forth.
Yeah,
well,
sorry
I
about
didn't.
That. Sorry about you that, did. Liam. You did say Czech Republic.
That's right.
Would we have got Slovakia, though?
Probably not. So we wouldn't have got the point anyway.
Sheffield United is correct. Well
nice.
Done, Liam. Number 4, the film we were looking for was Kramer versus Kramer. Well done,
yes.
Farrell.
Yes. Wow. I think you got that.
Well, no. Well, we wouldn't have got it if you didn't say it was two names the
same.
Two
names.
We just got Kramer.
Just one single Kramer.
No Kramer and Kramer. And then finally, we had Catherine of Aragon and Anne of Cleves, which
yay.
Gives us...
4 out of 5.
4 out of 5. Look, we're just improving one step at a time. We'll have a little break from the quiz just for a second so we can have a deep dive into the life of Farrell Hegarty. How do you feel about that?
Oh, yeah, I'm excited.
Excited about that. We had a little bit of an introduction into your life in Coronation Street, but what? Give us a whole sort of overview of you and Coronation Street, how it all came about.
So I came in it last year? We got brought in as a new family, and they called us, like, the Battersbys. Do you remember the Battersbys?
Mm. He's a big Coronation.
A bit rough.
He was a big Coronation Street fan growing up.
Well, they were hated when they first came in. So my husband murdered a copper.
You don't do that.
Don't do that. He tried to murder another one. He's my baby daddy. He got upset. So basically, I've got 3 kids. We've got 3 kids on the street. And then my husband found out that the oldest kid is not biologically his. And he got a bit upset. So I kicked off. And that's when he killed the copper.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. And then he went to prison. And then I was skint, so I needed money. So I tried to bribe someone. He wouldn't give me the money. So I hit him on the back of the head with a lead pipe in a car park, and then pretended to be his wife when he was in a coma. Just a normal Tuesday in Curry.
I really like, when I was sort of asking about your life in Coronation Street, I was sort of more interested about like how you got the job. It was just the intricacy of the storyline. Way more interesting, to be fair.
To me, it probably is more interesting than I went to the audition.
Well, no, I'm intrigued because like the filming schedule and learning the lines and shooting, isn't it like on soaps? Just famously very intense and very quick.
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, it depends how much you're in. Like when I was peak storyline, you can shoot up to like, I mean, they shoot, oh God, like maybe 10, 8-9 scenes a day.
Wow.
And it's like an hour apart and they like fire it out. So you got to be on it.
But what if you're making mistakes and forgetting your lines and like not delivering?
The scenes are quite short on a whole, mm-hmm. and you just don't. People make mistakes all the time, but you just, yeah, you couldn't fuck.
And do you rehearse?
You get like a couple of rehearsals. So you'll read through, then you'll go on, you'll block it, and then you'll run it a few times. But unless it's a long scene where you'll get longer anyway, a lot of them are quite short, so they are easy.
It just blows my mind how, I mean, not to detract from your talent, but how the greatest actor of our generation, Steve McFadden, who plays Phil Mitchell,
yeah.
how he delivers such breathtaking performances
when he's
working to that schedule.
Yeah,
he doesn't rehearse it, he's got an hour to squeeze it in.
How many you've got actors that come in and are like, oh my God, I can't work like this, because you might, on like a film or something, you might get like a whole day to shoot like one intense scene, or, you know, they'll go over it and over it, so you can try it loads of different ways where it's like, you might get a couple of chances if you're lucky.
Bloody
so
hell.
So you've got to, then sometimes that's easy. If you're going to do an emotional scene, you only have to do it once, maybe twice, and then if they've got it, they're like, they've got it. So sometimes if you've got to like cry, like I had a big scene in a car park where I find out my husband's killed someone. I'm like, did you kill that copper? I don't want to feel like that. Did you kill him? Answer me the truth now. And we got upset in it. And I was like, if you had to do that 100 times by the end, you'd just be like, do you kill a copper? Do you know what I mean?
Can you cry?
Sometimes.
Can you cry on demand?
I can sometimes. Yeah, it can pull out.
The answer is yes, but you didn't want to commit to it because you didn't want him to ask you to do it.
Yeah. Do it now, go on.
So you're about to go, yeah, well.
Just, we've got a 3-camera setup now. It's quite new. And I just thought, might as well make the most of it and get you on 3.
Squeezing some tears out.
Yeah.
Can you
start crying in the middle of the podcast.
No, I'd love to be an actor one day, but I just think to myself, well, I can't, because I can't cry on demand. And that's, like, if you can't cry, then you're not really an
actor.
You've
never done it on stage, been performing something, you had to get a bit emotional.
I think I can sort of look like I'm about to cry. I have dry eye syndrome anyway.
Have you done anything that you might want to cry in a reel or a skit or anything?
Any
teary ones?
Yeah, I have, but then it's just
as well. There's tear stick.
Really?
Yeah, you give a tear stick.
And what, they just sort of, you dab them there and it looks like...
It's basically like tea trial.
Don't put
too much in there. I'll learn the hard way on that. Like, you're ready! You're on fire.
Can you cry?
No. Did it once.
Yeah.
Youth theatre performance for Titanic. Felt very lightheaded.
What were you?
Well, just
the iceberg.
Yeah. It's a bit of fun. No, just sort of one of the people sinking. Sing a song. Everyone had to be really emotional. Squeezed out a tear.
People sinking.
Squeezed out a tear. Took so much out of me. I thought, well, backstage.
Bloody hell.
Fucking hell, I need to sit down there.
That was before really? My lifetime. Yeah.
Thought, not doing that again.
Did you access something?
I just looked sad without a tear. Did you? But I did do it once. Yeah.
Did you access some memory that?
No, I think it was just sort of like the music and.
What did you think about? Sometimes it helps when you just think about.
No, I didn't. I was in the moment.
Okay,
I wasn't going elsewhere thinking of like some dog that's died. I was there. I was
sounds
thinking.
Like you thought about a dog that died. It's very specific, isn't it? I was thinking Kenny.
I was there.
Who died? Fucking in the middle of the night, Christmas Day.
He was my best friend.
I'm thinking about that. You were also quite prolific as a dancer when you were at school, weren't you?
No, I wasn't.
I did.
I did one thing where I had to join in for a production of Cats. And I just had to learn this dance, but all quite last minute. And then something with 42nd Street as well, but I can't tap.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
To the point where they were like, right, Liam, we just need you in there as a body, but we're not going to put tap shoes
on. Fucking hell.
Just shuffle your feet
around.
They were like,
they're going to look like them, we're just going to take the metal off. So, like, just what you're doing can't be heard.
Taking the metal off. We want to risk hearing your feet move.
It was. And they were like, so everyone, it's, you know, quite technical with like your toe and your heel. They were like, just put your foot in the direction it needs to go.
Yeah.
But just. Don't worry about the sound of a technical bit. Do all that. And I was so... I just wasn't getting it. I just couldn't do it. I'd never tapped before. I was like, why have I done this? But I stayed up all night doing it. That's what you're getting at, isn't it? When I told Jake, I stayed up all night practicing it.
Practicing the Cats dance.
The night before the show. And then...
Is this in like theatre club?
And then I drilled it in me so much that I like still remember it now when I showed Jake.
Can we see it? Would you like to see it?
No, we can't.
Course.
No.
You can't?
No,
I'm actually not.
It's fucking awful.
We'd love to see it.
I did it.
We'd love to see it, mate. It's so impressive that but it's such an example of being like, look, I'm so bad at a thing that they've actually taken that metal off my shoes. No, you're misunderstanding me. It's an example of like, being told you're so bad at something that they're taking the metal off your shoes and then being like, that's it, it's a fucking like teen coming of age dance movie story. Like he goes home and he's just like, right, I'm gonna learn this fucking routine. And he comes back and it looks like, looks a bit like this.
Yeah, I showed you and it was that, it was like two shoulders being in a jump and you were like, that is what you stayed up all night learning.
That is three shit. Moves.
That is shit. You're like when your parents come down in the morning and go, what are you doing up here? What are you still doing in here, Liam? Watch this.
Look what I've been up all night learning.
Like, imagine if you genuinely had that much determination and focus, what you could learn in 8 hours straight. Yeah. Like,
also, I wonder if just 8 hours sleep might have been more beneficial to me on the night.
Right. So, yeah, what is so 8 hours? And yeah, what definitely was it? What sort of things you get?
That, there. That, up, jump. Something like that.
That's the floating
bit. Again.
Oh, sorry, Farrell. It's about you, really. I don't know what I'm about.
But that,
it's good, so, you can still remember it.
That sort of like speedy pace of doing takes just like once maybe or twice. Do you use that for your online stuff as well? Do you just think, right, I'm a one take wonder, or will you overload it again? Yeah.
Do you know what's funny? I watch back like my like raw footage from a reel I made at like my second reel I ever made, and it took me like an hour, and I say the things I wanted to say twice, and now I'm like. Two lines where I'm just like, hey, hey, hey. And I've got like 20 minutes of footage and I picked the first one anyway. It's just a waste of time. And like me, and I, because I film with a girl now, she comes and helps me. And I'll just do this line again. Okay, and again, again. And then I can see her eyes going like, you said it the same way 100 times and they were all shit. So just like pick one. And in the edit, I'll be like, yeah, the first one was good, wasn't it? The first one's the best one, isn't it? I was like, oh, it's such a waste of energy. But I feel like you overthink it. But so yeah, no, I just keep going.
It's obviously working. You are you're prolific.
Oh.
We have as you've just seen me see on my research document, the fact you were shortlisted for ITV Entertainment's B Creator of the Year. You're that prolific.
I was. Yeah. That was fun.
Farrell, where can people find you online?
I'm on TikTok and Instagram with Farrell Hegarty.
Now, lovely. Just be prepared when this goes out. Just stay seated because you're going to see your phone just rumbling and erupting with 85,000 new followers. So just watch yourself, okay? Just watch yourself.
Hang on to your pants.
So we're going into Sam's final round, round three, the jungle. Full transparency, we did have a little bit of a tech issue then, but we're back. We're fine. There was about 4 minutes lost. So just to quickly recap you on what you missed. Farrell, would you do I'm a Celebrity?
Yes.
But?
I can't because I'm scared of snakes. Like, really badly. Like, and irrational.
And there was a very key anecdote about when you were faced with a snake, which was?
What, on the tube?
Oh, yeah, no, there was the Maverick Sabre one and the tube.
Oh, yeah, I was in a music video back in the day where I... they bought.
Bloody hell, you've been around a long time. We thought to ourselves, do we recreate the chat or do we just give you the whistle-stop tour of it? Who was the music video for?
Maverick Sabre.
Bloody hell, how long ago was that? And we had a great time discussing how long ago that must have been.
Oh, I miss those days. Yeah, there was a python on set and I shat my pants.
Wow.
Not literally.
No, that would have been.
And then... question one was, in the Jungle Book, what is the name of the panther who protects and mentors Mowgli? Jake, you played Mowgli.
I did, and we've agreed that I didn't get the part just because I wasn't right for it. and it was, we agree that the answer is Bagheera.
Question two was, the black spots on a leopard share their name with which type of award? And I believe that is where we were.
Yeah, and I said, it's not the ITV B Creator Awards, was it?
Of course.
Little plug in there.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
And now you join us right where we were. Okay, so what do we think here then? So the black spots on a leopard share their name with what type of award?
Did you think that Emmy sounded?
Emmy's like the only one that doesn't sound like a name of a person or an existing organisation.
Yeah, but there's other types of award, isn't there? Like Nobel. You know what I mean? We're just thinking.
That's very true.
We were thinking entertainment, weren't
we? Yeah, and they could be sort of like.
We just need to switch off, don't we? It's all about entertainment.
Those
all the
sort
time.
Of like creative awards minds. You get given by your country, you know, like a Victoria. Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be one of those, is it? Is it? Duke of Edinburgh.
The Duke of Edinburgh spots.
I can't get a Duke of York award anymore because it doesn't exist as a title. Emmy? Do we like Emmy?
Yeah, let's go, Emmy.
Yeah.
Question number three. Welcome to the Jungle was the 2013 sequel to which 1990s adventure film?
So there was a 1990s adventure film which Welcome to the Jungle is a sequel of. Is it Jumanji?
I was just about to say Jumanji.
But the sequel for Jumanji...
There was a sequel that came out with, like, The Rock, wasn't there?
Yeah, was that just like a remake? Should we go with it?
Should we do it?
Let's do it. It's jungle-based.
It's quite late, isn't it? 2013, after making it in the 90s. I think it was like 96, wasn't it?
I think that makes it more likely, because that one was quite late. But I think though,
yeah, I've got a feeling a sequel might have been a bit more recent.
I think it's quite recent.
Adventure film, 90s. Welcome to the Jungle... Something to do with snakes.
Dr. Doolittle?
Don't trigger me.
Was it Dr. Doolittle?
Ooh. Actually, that's not a bad shout. Because it was, what, Eddie Murphy?
Yeah.
The 1990s. And I reckon
I think there was a sequel later on.
Welcome
to Doolittle. There was a few.
And I could see Dr. They sort of did domestic animals, didn't they? Sort of.
Should we try Dr. Doolittle?
Yeah.
That makes sense. They went to the
jungle. Are you happy with that, Farrell?
Yeah, I'm more than happy. I'm happy to be here.
So get
it's nice to get out of the house.
Whenever you're ready. I'm ready. I'm ready.
Whenever you're ready.
Question four. The 100-mile section of impassable jungle called the Darien Gap separates Colombia from which of its neighbouring countries?
Ooh. So just name one of Colombia's neighbouring countries.
Yeah, and then
we're in. So which one do you want to pick of Colombia's neighbouring countries?
I think it might be... Is it Nicaragua?
Lovely.
Is it that one?
Yeah.
Oh. But it says countries, so... Oh, I was
which
sort
of one of its countries?
Yeah. Nicaragua
is. I think that's like right on the Darien Gap, and then above that, then you're going into.
This is nice, isn't it?
It's really nice watching into geography.
It's probably wrong. It's probably wrong.
It's very attractive.
Then you're going up into America, aren't you?
I have to say, it's very attractive when you get geography right.
Thank you, mate. I do like a geography round.
And I think because we like let the side down by not going with this Czech Republic thing on the last one, we should definitely
owe it to you.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Nicaragua.
It is.
Yeah.
Number five, which animal's name is derived from two Malay words meaning man of the forest?
A man of the forest has got to be some sort of primate, right?
Yeah.
In fact, it could be chimpanzee.
Orangutan?
Orangutan's another one. Gorilla.
This is not my round.
Which, I'll say, out of chimpanzee, orangutan, and gorilla, which do you think sounds like it's a combination of two Malay words put together?
I don't think... Orangutan.
Orangutan, yeah.
Do you agree?
That sounds the best one.
Orangutan.
I think it might be. Yeah, let's go for it.
A tough round. I think we can all agree.
It was really a tough round. Thanks, Sam.
They're not always going to come easy.
No.
No.
But sometimes amazing things can happen. Let's do the answers.
Nice.
In the Jungle Book, what is the name of the panther who protects and mentors Mowgli?
Jake,
straight in, Bagheera.
That's 1 point.
Number two. The black spots on a leopard share their name with which type of award? We said an Emmy. I'd be very surprised. It is... Rosette.
Oh, so it's like, it's literally what type of award? Trophy, rosette, wooden spoon?
We thought
it was an actual award. Not... It's just the vessel by which your award is given to you.
Yeah.
Rosette.
I think that's a problem with the wording of the question.
A leopard's covered in rosettes.
Sad. Yeah. It does ring a bell somewhere, actually, hearing that.
I would have phrased it as, just a little redo for Sam.
Yeah.
You can often be rewarded with an item that shares its name with a spots on a leopard's coat. What is that item?
And that is why you're the best quiz master in the UK.
I think we've all learnt something today.
That was perfect.
Piffy. Sorry, just got the right camera.
That is why you are a natural.
Just one to each.
Double blink.
Nailed it.
That is why he is a professional. Welcome to the Jungle is the 2013 sequel to which 1990s adventure film we said Dr. Doolittle.
We had a go.
We had a good go.
What can you do?
We flirted with Jumanji. We changed to Dr. Doolittle. It is Jumanji.
Oh no! That's the worst.
That's always a kick in the dick.
We zigged when we should have zagged, is a phrase I've heard recently. That really stings.
At least now we know.
I just felt like that one with The Rock was so much later.
I know, I thought that was like... I remember seeing that on the side of a bus in sort of like 2020 or something.
Yeah,
right.
There's been a few though since, hasn't there? Three since with The Rock.
Thanks for saying that now.
Sorry.
Yeah, that was kind of time because we might have gone.
It's been a few, hasn't
it? Well, there's been a few.
This is when she goes, oh yeah.
And then the first one was 2013. How do you not know that?
Oh, we're a team. Ah, you should have said. Yeah.
I'm playing on my own. I'd have got 1 out of 10.
Another 5 out of 5 for me.
Number four. The 100-mile section of impassable jungle called the Darien Gap separates Colombia. Oh, I said Nicaragua. I'm not feeling confident.
Oh, you, mate.
It is.
Panama.
Ah.
Panama.
Idiot.
But still. I hate it. Do you know what? Actually, that's one of the things I hate the most. What? Someone does something good, and then you do the sort of like fake praying with the two hands going, very good.
Why do you hate that?
I really hate it.
Yeah, how often are you coming across that?
Someone gets around it unexpectedly. praise me. Yeah, very good.
It's way too much.
Because what you're doing is you're
mocking,
yeah,
isn't it? It's mocking. You're basically going, all right, you're not grateful that I bought these points because you're literally.
It's so extreme. Because that action of two hands up and bowing is enacting basically like praying down to like a deity.
Not Connor with three points.
Exactly.
Here he comes.
He's done it. He's got around him.
Exactly. He's like going for dinner and like, oh, don't worry, I've got a 10% off voucher. Thank you. Very good. It's all right. I'm fucking trying it.
It's like the waiter bringing over your soup. Thank you.
Because you would never do the hands up, bow down thing to something actually incredible. Like, would you want to spend the rest of my life with you and marry me? Fair play. Well done. You wouldn't bow to that because obviously it's not appropriate. So you're doing what? For someone just trying to make an effort to be nice in the world.
I'd love to see someone doing it like coming out of the dentist or something. Great, Philly. Thank you.
Doing a great job, Jared Doc. Oh, God.
The one I do like is that.
That's nice. Hands together.
And then number five was the animal that is derived from the two Malay words meaning man of the forest. It was orangutan.
Well, wow. Fucking hell. So we didn't celebrate, right? A little bit of that for me would be nice.
I forgot what
it's all right. Yeah. Master at work over here.
I literally was like, did we put that?
The deity.
Praise be.
So, Farrell, that brings us to the end of the quiz, and it is a 9 out of 15. We like to get double figures.
I think you carried me for most of it. I was just here for
you got Matty Healy.
You got Matty Healy.
To be fair,
got Matty Healy.
Turns out jungle and books are not my.
You got Matty Healy, but we did get to find out lovely anecdotes about your life, which was nice. Yeah.
Would you be willing to do a little review of Sam's quiz? Just your thoughts on it and a little score out of 10.
Yeah. Great quiz. I struggled. I like the second round the best.
Because it was the one that you got loads of answers on. Right. Yeah.
The thing is, it's just bad rounds for me because if you're not a reader, then automatically, and you know, if you've not been to the jungle, automatically.
Yeah, I know. So really, those two rounds, jungle books, the ideal sort of middle ground for that, isn't it?
Yeah.
So for you, round two, we had some great hits. Matty Healy, Kramer and Kramer. We learned a lot about Sheffield United. Catherine Hagen, Anna Cleese, another highlight for you.
Oh, yeah, I like a bit of Henry.
Yeah. So like round two was great. Overall, out of 10, you...
Of the quiz? 7.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, Sam, I'll give you a 7 on that.
And then another little thing we do is quizzer of the quiz.
Mm.
Like player of the match. Out of the three of us on our team, who was like the star player? Who's getting the cheetah spots?
Mm. I'd have to give it to Liam on this occasion.
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely, mate.
I didn't think I'd...
The geography knowledge was second to none.
Yeah, and you know, the Sheffield thing. And also, we didn't go on you for Czech Republic.
Yeah, it's a good
second idea. Second to none, as in we got no scores on the geography stuff.
No, but you had a good go.
Thank you, mate.
How many people give themselves man of the match?
Well, quite a few actually.
Me.
Sometimes you do just know. Sometimes it is just.
Sometimes you just know.
Yeah.
So a huge thank you to our returning quizmaster Sam from the Fox in Loxley, Warwickshire. It's quiz every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Sam, please keep sending them in.
We love them. Also,
a huge thank you to Farrell Hegarty for joining our quiz team today.
It's 10:01 a.m. on a Monday, all at once. Your sales leader needs to know which deals are at risk. Your PM wants feature adoption by cohort. And your CFO needs one last graph for the board. Now your data team has to say no to somebody. Hex changes that. Ask any data question in plain English and get an analyst-grade response, all backed by your actual business context as defined by your data team. Start saying yes to more data questions at hex.ai.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.